didn't bring my Bible tonight because I have an NIV, but it isn't as N as this one, because and the words have changed slightly, and so I thought I'd read the same version that you've got. So it's on page 868 we're looking at, and it's Ezekiel chapter 36. I don't intend to read it all because it's a long reading and it's the end of the day, so if you can grab a Bible, because I'm not Mary is the PowerPoint expert. I'm not using any PowerPoint tonight. I'm just going to go the old-fashioned way. I didn't thank Rosalie as well. Rosalie's come out especially tonight to pray for us, so bless you, Rosalie. And so the title of our message tonight is found, we'll look at it later, is The Spirit Who Softens Our Hearts. And it's in Ezekiel 36, and as I say, that's on page 867. So just to give you... I'll just read them. Don't worry, because it's. I'm just going to pick little bits until we get. Well, you could. It's verses 26 and 27. If you want to put the actual verses that we're looking at up later, but we'll look at the background first. So this is Ezekiel, and as you know, this chapter. Most of us know Ezekiel from them bones, them dry bones. So this chapter comes before Ezekiel is prophesying to the dry bones. And here he's prophesying to the mountains. If you look at verse 1, Son of Man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel. And so he's actually prophesying. It's not actually to the mountains, as you read on. He's prophesying to Israel, because he talks about the mountains, the valleys and everything else. So Israel... at this time, is in a bad way. They are surrounded by enemies. The place has been destroyed. Solomon's temple has been destroyed. And so it's not a great time for Israel. And this whole chapter here is a chapter of hope, actually, as we'll see as we go through. But God is not happy with his people. If you've been on Sunday nights or you've done much of the Old Testament, you'll know that, as Graham said in our prayer meeting this morning, one minute the people of God are going for God and everything's great, and then the next generation, they're miles away, worshipping idols, and at this time, God isn't too happy with them. He's not pleased with his people because they are worshipping idols, they're defiling his name, and as we'll see, their hearts are hard. And if you look in the dictionary, see Mary and I do the same thing, not in a Bible dictionary, in a normal dictionary, having a hard heart is being unfeeling, unmerciful, and pitiless. And as I say, these people, God accuses them of having a hard heart. And we might think, actually, well, you know, they're a rum lot, that lot in the Old Testament. They're always, one minute they're going for God, the next minute they're not. But if somebody was looking at our nation, and in recent history, when I say recent history, the last few hundred years, because, you know, time, this is hundreds of years going by, you could easily say, well, you know, Britain was... when Wesley and Whitfield were here, the nation was turning to God, thousands of people were following him, and then things got a bit better and they forgot about him. And even in recent history, during the Second World War, you would say that the nation was much more looking to the things of God and depending on God and praying. And then the war's over, things get better, and we forget about God again. So we can't look back at these people and think they're a useless lot, because at one minute they're for God and the next minute they're doing their own thing. There were always a remnant that were doing that, but our country, I believe, is the same sort of picture. One minute we're at the moment we're in a time where we could say the place is desolate, we're surrounded by enemies, and people are not following God. So, as I say, this chapter is not a chapter about to be depressed about. It is a chapter of hope. So the first part of it is all about God saying, you know, things are bad, and he's telling Ezekiel to prophesy, and keeps going on. And then in verse 22, which is over the page, we start getting the positive bit about what God's going to do. And he says, therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do some good stuff, but the sake of my holy name. When I read that, I thought, that's a bit harsh. God's saying, I'm not doing this because of you. I'm doing it because of me. Because God, the whole point of the Israel, of that nation, was that God wanted to show that that nation, their God, was the God. There was no other God like him. And he's fed up here because that isn't the case. Other people are mocking them, saying, well, I thought your God was the real God. And clearly it isn't, because of the mess you're in. So God's saying, I'm not doing it because of you. I'm doing it because of me. My name is important. And again, I think we will get to the verse we're looking at, but I think this is quite interesting, because I think God could be saying the same in our culture. So many people are just saying, well, you know, all ways lead to God, and you know, you believe in this and I believe in that, and it's all very nice and cozy, but it's not true. All ways don't lead to God. We've got neighbours, and that's what she says to me. Well, you know, you believe this, and we, but all ways lead to God. No, they don't. Our God is different, and I believe that we, as I can't help thinking about Mary this morning, with Nicodemus having this, couldn't get his head around what Jesus was talking about. And I don't believe we're going to win our Hindu brothers and sisters, our Muslim brothers and sisters, by intellectual arguments. I believe we're going to win them by doing what the Sovereign Lord is saying, by having a soft heart, a heart of compassion, by demonstrating God's hope and love in our community. And that's what God was saying. I want you, this people, to demonstrate that I, the Lord God, am the only God. Not by any other ways than by the way in which you live. So it seemed a bit, when I read that to start with, I thought, ooh, that's, you know, because we are going to talk about it. And God is the God of compassion. But he is also the one who expects his people to demonstrate his love. And then we get these great, this is the other thing, when you look at the Old Testament, you get these great prophecies and foresights into what's going to happen. So if you then look at verse 25, we read this. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. So God is saying, God is prophesying through Ezekiel, saying, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. I'm going to forgive your sin and make you clean. And again, a vision of the future. And we can look back and see that's exactly what happened. God didn't sprinkle clean water. He sent his son to forgive us for our sin and to bring us close to him. So a great prophecy here from Ezekiel. And then our verses. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to keep and to be careful to keep my laws. And again, I can't help thinking about what Mary was talking about this morning. So if there's any Nicodemuses here tonight, we are not talking about a heart transplant. This isn't a literal like Nicodemus couldn't get the bit about being born again. So when God says, I'll give you a new heart, he isn't talking about us going to have a heart transplant. And we live in this time. We look at this prophecy and we can say we live in this time. We've just celebrated Pentecost, and God sent his Holy Spirit, and God sent his Spirit to you and me today. That promise of a Spirit that will soften our hearts. So, my question is, if we were to connect our hearts up to a spiritual cardiograph machine, what sort of image would our heart have? What sort of image would we have? Would our hearts be hearts that are soft and compassionate, or hearts that are hard? And I was thinking about this because in my last couple of talks, which I'm sure you've all listened to the podcast and studied them all, but in my last couple of talks I've been talking about how our culture impacts us, how we are impacted by what's going on around us. But actually, if you look at our nation and you look at what being hard-hearted, dictionary definition, unfeeling, unmerciful, pitiless, that's not true of our nation. There are only five nations in the world that give 0.7% of their GDP away, and we're one of them, and we're much bigger than any other of those nations. So we give away as a nation £13.4 billion, which is pretty, when you think about how much the National Health Service, they're not looking for anything like that. And yet as a nation, we are giving that amount of money away. So as a nation, we're not a pitiless nation. As individuals, we're not pitiless. If you look again at the UK, we're in the top 10 of nations, of all the nations in the world, for charitable giving. So as individuals, this country, we are not pitiless. When we see things, we have compassion and we give. And as a church, as you know, if you're regular here, we give away more than 10% of our income. And I thought it was interesting, there's a few of us here who were at the last church council. Things are tight, money's tight at the moment, and there was a thought, well, maybe we should not give away 10%. Boom. That thought was dismissed pretty quickly. And so there was not even a vote because it didn't get that far. And so as the church, we're generous. So when it comes to giving money, finances, I think we are generous. And we are. But I think God is talking about something else here. I think he's talking about his compassion. As we read this passage, he's talking about his compassion for this people who were lost, who were far from him. And we look at Jesus and we see Jesus looking at the crowd and having compassion on them, saying they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost and without hope in the world. And Mary's going to talk about lead us in the meditation, looking at the prodigal son, and we see the father who wants, he just was longing for his son to return to him. So I think my challenge tonight is, how soft is our hearts towards this generation in which we live, this lost generation in which we live? How much does it bother us that we live in a generation that is far from God? If God looked on our country and looked on our generation, he would be equally like he was with the Israelites, thinking, what's gone wrong? What are you doing? I think what it's saying here is we need the Holy Spirit to be at work, and we need to be the people that the Holy Spirit can use. So this isn't about us dreaming up again. our intellectual plans, our intellectual strategies as to how we meet these people. We need a move of the Spirit, like Ezekiel was prophesying about, like came at Pentecost. We need that move of the Spirit now for this lost generation. And we are blessed as a church because we have so many opportunities to reach out with God's hope and love. This coming week, on Saturday, there'll be Message Church in here. We'll be on the streets. There's breakfast. There's music festivals. There's every day. The cafe is going to be open this week. There's going to be stuff going on. And I need God to soften my heart, because so often my heart's full of my agendas, what I want to do today, what I'm going to be thinking about today, and I don't find it easy to look at the lost and the lonely people who aren't like me at all and reach out with God's hope and love. I don't find that easy. I need God's Spirit to be at work to help me to do that, to soften my heart, to give me a heart of compassion for everybody, not just the people who I would naturally be with. So I thought, just before we move on, we should just have a time of quiet now where we just ask God to look into our hearts, search our hearts, not to see, as the psalmist says, if there's any wicked way, not now, just to see whether God could be saying to us where we are hard-hearted, where we are not gracious, where we are not kind, where we are not generous with our time and other things.